B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatics Trust the Contest. 5K a day. Free money giveaway.
Presented by the New Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use promo code GREEN.
All right, let's try to give away some money. $1,000 to be exact. The Trust the Contest 5K a day cash giveaway. This hour's keyword is sweet. S-W-E-E-T. Enter the keyword sweet on the Fanatic app on 97.5thefanatic.com or by texting sweet to 45911 by 4:15 p.m. We'll call you if you're randomly selected and you'll win a grand. Everyone that enters on the app or the website will qualify for a $10,000 grand prize to be given away later. Rules for this nationwide contest are available at 97.5thefanatic.com. So enter the keyword sweet on the Fanatic app. 975thefanatic.com or by texting the word sweet to 45911 by 4:15 p.m. Our Fanatic Trust the Contest 5K day cash giveaway presented by the New Parks Casino Sportsbook app. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA and use the promo code GREEN. 4 o'clock hour, Mike Missinelli Show, brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop, created jaw-dropping outdoor paradise, online at landisbc.com. 2 hours into the show, it doesn't really get any easier. This whole thing still has a surreal feeling in general, but especially because of the eeriness of Kobe's name resonating in Philadelphia Saturday night during that win over the Lakers when LeBron scores enough points to pass him on the list, and his last tweet is a congratulations to LeBron James, and then all of a sudden the air is just sucked out of life when you get the news on Sunday that he had died in a helicopter crash, and also his 13-year-old daughter, which can't be any sadder. And like I said, there have been other sports stars who have passed before they should have, both nationally and in town, and this one feels heavier than a lot because Kobe Bryant was larger than life. And you look at a guy like Kobe, he's indestructible. You know, Kobe Bryant will be amongst us for a really long time in retirement as an ambassador, as a father. And it's just stunning to think that he's no longer going to be here. It's as tragic and stunning a death as we can ever experience. As I said before, aside from our own families, because we all kind of knew him. He's a one-name guy. He's Kobe. All right, let's get back to the phones and talk to Marty in Roxborough. Marty, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Marty.
Hey, Mike, I got cut off earlier, but I just wanted to say this is a sad day for everybody around Philadelphia, and it's a sad day for everybody in the sports field. And this man, Kobe Bryant, left a legacy that will never be duplicated. And that's what I wanted to say to you, because I love you. I love Natalie, and I love Tyrone. And I'm the biggest fan of your show, and I only wish the best for all you guys. Love you. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Thank you for weighing in. We appreciate that. Let's go Tone in North Philly. Tone, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tone.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's
man?
Up, Tone?
What's up, man? First time caller, long time listener, man. I want to, you know, piggyback like everybody else saying, man, love your show. Love what y'all guys doing, man.
Thank you.
And obviously, man, I'm calling, you know, to pay homage and talk about the great Kobe Bryant, man. Like I keep hearing you say, man, it was a surreal, you know, thing to hear, you know, Sunday morning. And I was at the game Saturday night, you know, as well. And you know, they stopped the game and congratulated, you know, LeBron for passing him. And then obviously we get the news Sunday morning. And then to hear that his daughter, you know, was on a plane with him, or helicopter, I'm sorry, but with him. And I had two girls, and I just couldn't, you know, fathom, you know, being in that type of position, man, you know, with any of my children.
Yeah.
You know, but I can remember, man, you know, I played ball, and I mean, I still do, you know, give out work, you know, when necessary. And but I played in the Greater Philadelphia League back when I was in high school, and we had played against Engineering and Science, ENS. And they had a player, John Cox, but he had missed the first half. And we're up double digits, And then here comes running in John Cox and another player named Auburn Brown. He was a center. And then walking in probably about a minute after that was Kobe. He walks in, you know, got the Adidas sweatsuit on, the crazy eights, and he goes to sit down. And then, you know, we kind of lose it, obviously, because of him walking in. And you hear, like Todd said earlier, man, you heard about him, you know, in high school. He was a senior when I was a freshman.
No, John Cox was his cousin, right?
Well, yeah, he had a cousin, John Cox. You know,
yeah, his mom's family. Chubby Cox's son.
Right. And I can remember, man, he came in, and like I said, second half. So we all, you know, in there seeing Kobe, we thinking we in the NBA, but we're not. But we trying to show off of this guy. Like I said, up 10, and John Cox come in and have 27 against us in the second half, and they just run away with the game. And
yeah, like, they were really close, the cousins.
Yeah, man. You could just tell, man, he patented a lot of his, you know, his game with his. And mm-hmm. Obviously, I never played against Kobe, but, you know, playing against Cox, man, you could just see how, you know, Kobe just instilled, you know, greatness in everybody, man. And it definitely shook up the sports world, man. It touched me, touched my dad's a Lakers fan, man. I called him, you know, he was crying, and it was just crazy. Like you keep saying, and like I hate saying, man, it just doesn't seem real, man.
No, it really doesn't. And, you know, here's another. It's not a pleasant part of the story, and I don't know what the relationship was, but there was a period of time where the family was estranged. The mom and dad had broken with Kobe over some ugliness involving, I guess, some of Kobe's stuff, some of Kobe's memorabilia. And they had periodic rifts. I mean, I remember when he got married to Vanessa, there was one riff. And then I think they had reconciled, and then this other thing happened. So I don't know where the parents stand at this point, which makes it even worse because now you can't make amends.
Yeah, and that's another lesson that we can do if you're that while we still can try to make sure you're good with everybody that's still around.
Jack in South Philly. Jack, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Jack.
Yo, first, Mike, my condolences to the Bryant family and friends. It's a sad day in sports today. We lost one of the best of the best. And, Mike, I just wanted to share a story. It's remember when Kobe said that he was going to cut our hearts out back in the finals?
Yep.
That was with me and my buddy Vinny. That was at when I won the tickets to the game a couple weeks ago. That was the guy. We were walking down. You would know, Tyrone, you guys would know that you're in the building. On the bottom floor in the Wells Fargo, that's where they have the press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then, we would get lucky and see somebody here and there. So the one day that we're walking out in the finals, me and Vinny's getting ready to walk out the employee entrance. And Vinny yells out, we're standing next to Shaq. It was Shaq and Kobe standing there. And Vinny yells out, Kobe, don't forget where you come from. And Kobe turned around and said, I'm going to cut your hearts out on Wednesday night. That's where that story originated from, Mike. God's honest truth, that's where it originated from. Right there. And the two people that were standing there that can witness it was Dick Girardi.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure that happened. But he also did it publicly in a press setting. Because they had asked him about returning to Philadelphia, and he says, I'm going back to cut their heart out.
Yeah, but that's where it started from, where the original one, right then and there that night with me and Vinny walking out of the building. That's where it started from, Mike. And it's...
Go by
and
when,
and, no, that's
and then... what was that? I wasn't paying attention.
That's right. Don't worry about it, Jack. It's okay. Let's go. Brian in Lafayette Hill. Brian, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian.
Mike. Really sad day for all of us. My prayers and thoughts go out to not only the Bryant family, but everybody else that perished in that fire. I live about two blocks away from Plymouth White Marsh High School.
Mm-hmm.
And when Kobe was a junior, they had in their summer league, Lower Merion, Coachville, so you had Rip Hamilton, PW had John Sammons and Chuck Moore. Roman Catholic had Donnie Carr, and probably the best team in the league was Chester. And I remember I would go up there, and there would be 60 people. John Lucas was always there. Petey Morris was always there. And these teams would go at it. And I remember Kobe had like an 86 Bronco. Because when he signed his contract, I thought, he won't be driving around any more 9-year-old cars anymore. But I was at that Coatesville game down at the Palestra, and I remember the play that you talked about.
It was phenomenal.
I'm saying to people the next day, he was 3 feet over the base.
It brought people out of their seats. Like, I've never seen anything like it. He went to, like, the top floor that I've never seen anything like it. I mean, for high school.
It was not only too high, it was too far left.
He caught it one-handed, and the apex of his flight is, he threw it down, like, vertically. It was unbelievable.
And I remember he used to play at the Conshohocken tournament.
Yep.
He was the MVP as a junior, and I remember back when you were allowed to have Division I coaches at the games, John Calipari was there. I think he was coaching Memphis at the time. And he comes running over to Joe, the father, and says, "Hey, Joe, your son can play. We got to talk." And Joe was like, "Sorry, John, you came too late for this one."
Yeah, that was quite a night. And, yeah, you're right. And that's why we're going to talk to Coutinho Mobley, because he lived through those days as well. And, those players. Donnie Carr was a great player. He's now, I guess he's an assistant at LaSalle, and they went head-to-head in a game. I think Carr actually outscored him in the game, but
I was at the game. He did outplay him.
I don't know if he outplayed him. It was like 38 points to 35.
Now, here's one that people aren't going to remember. When Kobe was a senior, the first game of the playoffs, the district playoffs, they're playing Norristown up at Wissahickon High School. And I remember people were getting $50 for tickets outside.
Oh, well, they were getting $1,000 the night to Plester, because I was there. And I was walking up, and I was listening to these guys sell these tickets. The place was... It's hard to fathom, like, how many people were in that place to see that game. It was such a hyped game between two guys that were McDonald's All-Americans. When's that ever going to happen in Philadelphia anymore? Did that ever happen in Philadelphia? Rasheed Wallace was a McDonald's All-American.
He was, but to have two at the same time.
Playing the same position, going head-to-head.
That's a once-in-a-million type of thing. It didn't happen, I don't think, much before or since. And the schools, the level of school going into it, regular schools, not one of these academies. Mm-hmm. Like, if it happened at St. Joe's Prep, people say, okay, well, you grab some kid from somewhere else. The fact that they were both living in that commute, in those two communities, is unbelievable.
Coatesville was a better team.
Yes, but.
They were. They just were a better team. If you see basketball, you can see what team is better as far as five guys.
Right.
With Rip Hamilton. Laura Marion maybe had one more guy that could play in addition to Kobe. And he just took over the game like nothing I've ever seen.
Yeah,
five guys stopping. They got the ball. The five guys would converge, and he'd still spin his way to the basket.
He found a way. He gonna did. Get his.
All right, couple open lines, 610-632-0975. Let's go to John in Steelton. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike. You guys are the greatest, and our hearts all go out to Kobe and his family and the other people that perished. But I have a question for you. You might think it's a dumb question, but what is the connotation of the word Lakers?
They moved from Minneapolis. They were the Minneapolis Lakers, okay, where there are a lot of lakes in Minnesota.
Yeah, because I can understand the 76ers and the Pittsburgh Steelers, but okay, that makes sense now. That makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you guys are great. Now I won't.
It's like the Utah Jazz.
They took
the Jazz name to Utah. There ain't no Jazz in Utah.
Probably was in New Orleans or something.
Yeah, there's no lakes in L.A., but they were the franchise.
No, that's great. All right, I appreciate it. It's been bugging me for a while, but now I understand, and you guys are the greatest.
Thanks, man. Lakers. Didn't Joe Mikan play for the Minneapolis Lakers?
Yeah.
You did?
And they had won, so they kept that name. Still, to me, to this day, it makes no sense that the Jazz kept the name.
No, Lakers
makes it. Lakers had won. Once you win, you want to keep that brand name.
Yeah,
Mikan had won.
It was unusual.
The Jazz kept that name. They should have changed it to all that stuff in Utah. They have mountains and all.
Yeah, but it kind of works.
I like the Jazz.
Utah Jazz.
It does kind of work.
Four letters.
But it makes no sense.
Oh, it doesn't make any sense at all.
It makes no sense.
It was the New Orleans Jazz.
Yes. That makes tons of sense.
That's what it was.
But they
moved to Utah.
And since they didn't win, that's a natural
Like, let's forget the Jazz ever happened.
Yeah, leave the Jazz there. Yeah, and right now, the Pelicans would be called the Jazz. We'd leave the name there.
Where did the Supersonics move to Vancouver, right? Or what?
No, they're Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City, I'm sorry. Well, Vancouver moved where?
Memphis.
Memphis went to Vancouver. Yeah, Vancouver
Memphis
Grizzlies
makes no sense.
The Vancouver Grizzlies, right. And they went to Memphis.
That makes sense. Yes, Memphis Grizzlies makes no sense.
Some keep the name and some don't.
Right, like whenever Seattle gets a team, they'll be the Sonics again. Jazz should have stayed in New Orleans.
Right.
Don't need it in Utah.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Alexandria, Virginia. Talk to Zachary. What's up, Zach?
Guys, what's going on?
How are you, Zach?
All right. I was listening to the other guy earlier. You know, I mean, this is obviously a sad, sad, unthinkable day. I'm in Virginia, but I grew up in Philly. My dad actually worked at LaSalle, was the athletic director at LaSalle University when Kobe was coming up and being. So he worked with Joe Bryant for a little bit when he was the assistant coach,
right,
at LaSalle. Uh-huh. I guess it was under Speedy. I think it was under Speedy.
Yeah.
You know, those games that the old gentleman was talking about against, is it Coatesville, Lower Marion, that championship game that was at Wissahickon. I was there. My dad actually ended up being the athletic director at Wissahickon.
So your dad was the athletic director at LaSalle when you were courting Kobe?
Yeah, yeah. When they were, he was, you know, when, and Donnie Carr and Rasul Butler.
Uh-huh.
Rasul Butler.
What's your dad's last name? What's your last
Meyer.
Name?
Meyer.
Meyer? Okay.
Meyer. Yeah, Tom Meyer.
Okay.
You know, it was the first, Kobe, he was the first one. We went to a game, and I think it was at Wissahickon. And he said, you know, the first one, he said, watch this guy. Watch this guy. It's going to be a legend. And I tell you, how many kids were there, and yeah, it was basketball, and yeah, it was talent, but I tell you, I tried to follow, obviously, a basketball path, and it was years of a man with such greatness instilling not just a sport, but a love for a sport and a love for things.
Yeah.
You know? And it just, I never forget those games. Yeah, you know, he used to come to LaSalle and just trash these D1 guys. You know, it's,
yeah, I mean,
old.
You know, it's interesting. Had he gone to LaSalle, he wouldn't have stayed long.
No.
You think about it. But it is, I do remember distinctly that, like, the Joe Bryant was going to deliver him to LaSalle, and the LaSalle people were really excited about that.
Yeah.
And when it did happen, it was kind of like a letdown, like Joe failed to deliver.
My dad was telling, he's never coming. He said he might leave high school early to go to the
Yeah, now Krzyzewski tells a different story. Krzyzewski said he was going to Duke if he was going to college.
And then
I don't remember it that way. I remember that LaSalle had a very viable chance to.
And then apparently, according to Vince Carter, they had played against each other a lot in AAU. Mm-hmm. And apparently, if he was going to go, he would actually ended up at North Carolina so that he could practice against Vince Carter every day. And that was recently like in an ESPN story. Mm-hmm. All the other stuff he said, had he actually gone, it's North Carolina, so that every single day he would try to bust Vince Carter's butt. Apparently, Kobe used to take, you know how competitive he was. If he had to go, he was going to go somewhere and bust Vince Carter's butt every day.
Yeah.
And Vince would have been a sophomore that 1 year, and then they both would end up going pro that's when they both would have went pro 1 year later.
Kevin in Newcastle County. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Mike. Real sad day, man. I'm a retired school police officer, man, and I got to work with John Chubby Cox at Boggs High School. And the year that our team went 17-3, but we lost to the Morris Twins in the playoffs. So, you know, after the season, they arranged. It was whenever Kobe and the Lakers came for the Sixers, he arranged for, like, to hand out the trophy to the kids. And the one kid was the biggest Kobe Bryant fan, so we had him hit behind the curtain. So when they first lined up and came in there, man, and we lined them up, man. And, of course, the crowd went wild, man. And also, like, my brother-in-law, Kevin Williams, he played with Donnie Carr and them. So he was in that era. But it's really a sad day. I got the matter of fact, Mike, I got two cars. I'm going to take one over to Chubb's house, and then I'm going to drop the other one over to his Chubby's grandma's house, because I got to eat dinner with them and everything, man. So it's really truly a sad day. I watched that Sixers game.
Now Shelby Cox went to Roxborough, right? Was it Roxborough he went to?
No, well, I don't know which. I know he went to San Francisco,
high school. I think he went to Roxborough High. He went to Villanova first, and then he went to San Francisco.
Yeah, well, see, Chubb is 64. I'm only 53, so he's a little old head to me. But when they and then he would arrange, because he was the coach at Barks High School, he would arrange for John Cox to come on during the summertime, and John Cox, his son, would work out with the kids, man. So, you know, it's really near and dear.
Where is John Cox these days, do you know?
Well, you know what, Mike, to be truthful, after he had that aneurysm, man, his family's like a private family. Now I know where the mom lived at Chenard Avenue, and I know where he lived at. But they had it. He knows so many people. They had it under wraps, and a lot of the teachers and people that knew him, man. It was sad, but that's just how private they are, man.
Yeah, I didn't know he had.
He had an aneurysm. Yeah. He lost his long-term memory, but he still looked good and everything. Yeah, man.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. Donnie Carr is going to be on with Vaughn Gibbons tonight. So we'll hear Donnie's stories of Kobe. And in 5 minutes, we're going to touch base with Catino Cat Mobley, who crossed paths. They were contemporaries. Catino a couple years older than Kobe, but Kobe went right to the NBA. Catino went to... He went to a prep school before he went to Rhode Island, right? Yeah. So they crossed eras and probably played a lot of ball, worked out a lot together. We'll talk to Catino Mobley coming up at 4:30. Meanwhile, there are a few open lines. 610-632-0975 is how you can get in. If you got any thoughts on this, what we're talking about today with the tragic and really unexpected and shocking passing of Kobe Bryant. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
4:30, Mike Missinelli Show. No Twitter poll today. And the Twitter poll, of course, every day is brought to us by Paul B. Moore and Sons, but too important of a topic to talk about the passing of Kobe Bryant. We're touching base with people whose life he touched, and our next guest shared a lot with him. NBA experience, Philly basketball experience, of course, the great product of Cardinal Doherty and University of Rhode Island, and a lot of teams in the NBA. He was a star player. Catino Mobley joins us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Cat, how you doing, buddy?
I'm hanging in there. It's a tough one for me right now for a lot of different reasons, but you got to keep moving, I guess.
Let's talk about the paths you crossed with Kobe. Obviously, you're a couple years older, but I assume that you played in the same circles, pickup games, whatever, AAU circuit. Tell me when you first encountered Kobe.
Kobe's 4 years, 3-4 years younger than me. So we've always been around each other, since about 14, 15 years old. So, Kobe's a Virgo, I'm a Virgo. His birthday's August 23rd, mine's September 1st. Both being Virgos, both being very detailed, and becoming maniacs when we love something, very job oriented. I think there's, out of the all the people that did help me in life, from my coach Ludlow to coach Heimerdinger to my guys who were Cardinal Doherty, there's two people for me that stuck out. The older I got was my stepfather, who believed in me that I can play in the pros, and watching Kobe's work ethic. I think that for me stamped the approval of you can do this. And there's a lot of guys I watched in the NBA, but I always was obsessed to watch Kobe's presentation. I always obsessed to watch Kobe's play, his effort, everything he did. And for me, it you know, I'm a spiritual person. I'm not a religious person. So, you know, there's moments now where I question, you know, the universe, because not only Kobe, but my other best friend, Rasul Butler, passed away 5 days, you know, now 4 days, January 31st, 2 years ago. So, you know, for those two guys passing away in January, 2 years apart, for me is a tough one. But you know, just what we've given to each other, and to keep each other motivated and pushing through life, and being the best father, being the best friend, being the best husband or boyfriend or whatever it is that we can be through our very chaotic life. You know, you need each other for that. And, you know, I think the universe has taken a person that, you know, for not just myself, because, you know, it's not about me. It's about his three little girls he left behind with his wife. It's just so many different things that, you know, you don't even have an answer for, you know. And that's what I grieve for most, because my daughter, I sat and looked at her face last night while she was sleeping. And, you know, it's just a very tough moment.
You obviously in the NBA you battle a lot. 11 years of Western Conference while you're playing against him, and you're probably guarding him, he's guarding you. Tell me what that was like.
Well, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get the best, so you have to bring it, you know. And, you know, for Kobe and I, you know, growing up, same city, you have the love and respect for each other. And Kobe always respected people that competed, you know, because he wanted to be at the highest level, and he was at the highest level. So, you know, he respected the person who's going to fight against him. So, you know, you can test yourself, and that's what life is about. You want competition in whatever it is that you do, you know, and playing against Kobe, he brought that out of you, you know, and I'm pretty sure he brought that out of a lot of other of our peers, and that's why they're heartbroken, because, you know, he leaves us at a very young age when he's about to accomplish so many amazing things off the court that a lot of us can look up to as well. You know, it's a very selfish thing that the universe has done, because you have someone who dedicated his life. God has given this man a talent, and he gave the universe and the people the best he could. He left it all on the court, and the universe gave him back 8 years. That's it. 8 years to make up for the sacrifice he's done for his family. To me, I can't swallow that one.
Your feelings are certainly understandable. Can we go back a little bit in time? Did you guys play against each other in the early days before you got the NBA as Philadelphia high school star type players?
No, I was old. I was a little older, and I played in the Catholic League. Mm-hmm. So we would play more. You know, St. Joe's or Augustine, mm-hmm. or, you know, places like that. But you know, not in high school. You know, he would play with Ross. He played against Rasul Butler in high school, or Ryan Preston in high school, a lot of guys like that. But as far as me being in Catholic League, we didn't play against each other in high school at all.
What I'm getting to, I guess, is that there was this, I always thought he felt this thing that he was a suburban kid as opposed to a hardcore Philadelphia kid. And that motivated him even more. Have you ever talked to guys that experienced that with him, and why he wanted to go the extra mile to prove that he wasn't soft?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a lot of us. It doesn't even matter if he was from the suburbs or not. There's a lot of guys that are, you know. One thing you have to understand is just because you're from the neighborhood, that don't mean you're from the hood. You know, I'm from the neighborhood. I'm not from the hood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a lot of us that want to prove ourselves not only to our peers of Philadelphia, but to our that we are tough. And Kobe used that type of motivation. And he used anything he could use, right? Like all of us, and whoever wants to be great in life, you have to use these little things. So Kobe definitely used that, and it got him to another level. And then, you know, and believing in himself was the big thing.
Did you guys talk to each other on the court? I mean, both very competitive guys. You're guarding each other, getting each other's grill. Can you tell me any stories along those lines?
Well, I mean, it wasn't. We never really talked junk to each other. Uh-huh. It was a lot of respect. So, you know, I can't give you stories of you know any of these trash talkings. I'm not going to make anything up. It was a lot of love. You know,
he felt kind of a kindred spirit with you that Philly thing. I'm guessing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You know, it's just like a brother passing for me. So, you know, I have to get myself together and figure out exactly what kind of memories, which all of them were amazing, that I can really, because I have a lot of different interviews I have to talk about.
Yeah.
And, I can really share with the rest of the world.
Yeah. The last question. You spent your last 4 years with the Clippers. At a time when, you know, the Lakers, obviously, now it's a little bit different, but the Lakers, it was the Lake Show, it was Kobe, it was Magic in the background, it was Jerry West, the whole thing. What was that like to play? Like, was that Kobe's city, and did you feel that way?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, he's the best Laker ever. He's the best Laker ever. You guys realize, you know, the last 20 years, people grew up around Kobe and kind of passing that torch from Magic, Shaq to Kobe Bryant, you know, and then Kobe proved that, you know, he can do it without Shaquille O'Neal, even though that's the most dominant player ever, you know, and just walking around when I first signed with the Clippers in 2005, you know, you knew it was Kobe City, you knew it was a Laker City, so. I mean, you got a guy 17 years old that's coming into Colin Hurd said this. He played more years than being a Laker than he was not a Laker. So, I mean, he literally grew up. He grew up, you know, as a baby, basically, in front of everybody else's eyes. And it was such a microscope, and he held it, you know, to the best of his ability.
Catino, listen, man, we really appreciate you coming on. Thanks a lot. And, you know, I understand this is a very emotional day for you and for all who knew. So we appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Catino Mobley on the Comcast Business Hotline, a very good NBA player. He averaged 16 points a game for his career in the NBA. It's pretty damn good.
Yeah, good player. And you know,
he's a scrappy, hard-nosed player.
And he mentioned looking up to him some, even though Kobe was younger. Kobe, obviously, that 96 draft. Mobley goes to the prep school, like you mentioned, goes to Royal and gets drafted in 98. So he actually comes in the league, even though he's older,
two years after Kobe. Yeah. He shot 38% from three, 46% overall.
Now he can hoop.
Nice player.
Tino was a good player.
All right, 610-632-0975. We'll come back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4:45, Mike Missinelli Show. A lot of guests on the show today to talk about the legacy of Kobe Bryant. And our next guest, very special because he is very close to Kobe, has covered him for a really long time in the NBA, knows him very well, knew him very well. Let's welcome in from ESPN, the great Stephen A. Smith on our Comcast Business Hotline. Stephen A., how are we doing today?
What's going on, Eminem? How you doing, man?
Listen, it's a very sad, emotional day, and it's tough for a lot of people to process it. And I know you've been very emotional about this. Just talk to me about what we're dealing with here with the passing of Kobe Bryant. How does it make you feel? How are we supposed to feel about it? Just speak on that.
Well, there's a level of sadness. I mean, you know, obviously anytime you lose somebody that's near and dear to you, especially somebody that's considered to be an iconic figure, it's going to resonate. But I would ask people to take a couple of things into consideration, and I'm only asking facetiously because I know so many people already have. Consider the fact that this is a guy that has an illustrious 20-year career in his back pocket, finished third on an all-time NBA scoring list, was a five-time champion, an 18-time All-Star, two-time NBA Finals MVP, nine times on the All-NBA defensive team. We all know that, you know, all those laudables. He has that in his back pocket. And then a year after retiring from basketball, he wins an Academy Award after deciding to become a writer. Not only does he win an Academy Award, but in the process, you know, he's got a daughter that he walks around bragging about at every turn named Gianna, who is the spitting image of him in terms of his mental makeup and his approach to things. She epitomized and idolized and emulated her father in every way that was imaginable as a basketball player, as an athlete, and a superstar. And at age 41, with all of that in your back pocket, having achieved hundreds of millions of dollars, all the rewards that you can fathom, you found life after basketball. You're at least trilingual. You speak fluent Spanish, Italian, and English, with adding Mandarin and German to your repertoire. You've done all of these things. You've established yourself as an iconic figure the world over as an athlete. You're establishing yourself as a Hollywood star because of your Academy Award, etc. You're only 41 years of age, and not only do you lose your life in a helicopter crash, but the very daughter that we were all looking forward to witnessing, because she is a great young basketball player with tremendous promise, destined to go to UConn to play for Gino Auriemma, as Kobe Bryant explained to me, she goes down in the crash with you. How is anybody, any human being with a soul, how are you supposed to feel after something like that? It's just as tragic as it gets. It's an absolutely awful thing to imagine. You know, your heart goes out to his wife who lost her husband and her daughter. It goes out to his other three daughters who lost their daddy and their sister. And you just imagine, and then all you did, you left home, you kissed everybody goodbye. You said, I'm going to take my daughter to her basketball game. And you never came home. It's just as tragic as it gets, and it's so sad, and it's just it's hard to even fathom that something like this could happen.
You knew him extremely well. That was very well said, by the way. You kind of like he grew up, and you were covering the league, and so you saw all this develop in front of you. What were your dealings with him like through all these years?
We spoke at least once a week. We partied together New Year's Eve to bring in a new year in Bel Air. He and I were hanging out together at a particular party in Bel Air on New Year's Eve. But like I said, we spoke all the time via text message or phone calls. You know, when my mom passed away, people like you and others had always reached out to send your condolences, and I really appreciate that. But Shaquille O'Neal was my first call at 6:30 in the morning. And approximately 25 minutes later, Kobe called. And, you know, Kobe and I communicated about a lot of things. Every story that you can imagine that was associated with him, him and Shaq and their relationship, his relationship with Karl Malone and some of the friction that they had, wanting to be traded and then wanting to be a Laker for life, the relationships he's had with Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, and others, all of that stuff is well chronicled. We all are aware of it. And all throughout all of these years, I was communicating with him. I'm certainly not going to sit up there and tell you that I was closer to him than players. that I was closer to him than even somebody like Michael Wilbon, because I certainly wouldn't say that's true. But we were friends, we were brothers, we were pretty tight. We trusted one another, we talked to each other, had a lot of private conversations together. He would egg me on about a lot of different things. I mean, just the other day he was getting on me about my cholesterol, you know, because I had revealed that I had high cholesterol. He said, what the hell are you doing? You're always quick to call somebody else out. You think I was going to let you get away with that? Take care of yourself, blah, blah, blah. You know, just those kind of things. He was a true friend, and he had really, really evolved and, you know, opened himself up a little bit more as after he retired. I mean, he was very, very tight-lipped and very protective of himself and his privacy always, but especially when he was playing, albeit to a select few. And then after he retired, he opened up a little bit more. But, you know, I was blessed and fortunate to have the kind of relationship with him that enabled us to call each other friends and brothers and one another's brother. And it's just it's devastating that he's gone.
When you look at his career and, you know, there are like a couple of guys that had the mentality that he had. Jordan had it. Kobe had it. LeBron had it at times. He would defer a lot. That Mamba mentality, that killer mentality. Where do you think that came from when you study the way he played basketball?
He was about silencing doubters. He lived for the challenge. Unlike Michael Jordan, however, he didn't manufacture it. It was very real. Coming from Italy, not being somebody that was from like the streets, the hardcore streets of urban America, he knew that there were people who questioned him, questioned his veneer, questioned his toughness, questioned his ability to get it done. Not his willingness, but his ability to get it done. And he knew that he was going to have doubters, and that was the interesting part of his evolution, because throughout his career, he was never in control, although he was a control freak. He constantly, constantly had to face cynicism and skepticism about what he could accomplish and what he's going to bring to the table. He comes out of high school. Well, you're coming straight out of high school. You didn't go to college. Well, what you going to do? You are a starter in the All-Star game before you ever started as a Los Angeles Laker. Well, how's that going to pan out when you go back to Los Angeles and you got to deal with your teammates? How ideal is that? Then after that, you became a star, but you weren't a champion. After you became a champion, you was only a champion because Shaq was your teammate. After Shaq was gone, y'all suffered a little bit. And then you said, what the hell is going on here? I want out. I'd rather play on the planet Pluto, when he came on my radio show and said that, because he was so disgusted with the Los Angeles Lakers. Then they trade for Kwame Brown. They traded away Kwame Brown. They acquired Pau Gasol. And then you go to three consecutive NBA finals and win back-to-back titles in 2009, 2010. Why was that so important? Because you did it without Shaquille O'Neal. Shaquille O'Neal was rapping and making rap records and stuff like that. So suddenly you wanted to do it. And when you wanted to do it, you tried to do one all in Italian. Why? Because nobody had done it before. And your whole objective, you were telling music producers and folks in Hollywood, you don't give a damn about the money. It doesn't matter to you. All you wanted to do was make sure you sold more records than Shaq. That's all that mattered to you. And so these are the kind of things that was going on throughout his entire young life, where he was a prisoner and a victim to what other people had perceived, and his insatiable appetite to knock down those critics and skeptics at every turn. And then you retire, and suddenly those critics and those skeptics no longer exist. You're completely at peace. You're in total control of your narrative, which to me was why he was happier than I had ever seen him in his entire career.
Yeah, I think you're right on. The fire burned constantly, and he had reached a point in life where he finally was comfortable with retirement and relishing retirement and doing things. And yeah, it's just a terrible story. Steven, your stuff is great. Last question. I know that, like, the Philadelphia thing was kind of denied. He denied it, but then he kind of embraced it. What do you think the Philadelphia story meant to Kobe Bryant?
He's grateful to the city of Philadelphia, because if you recall, once upon a time when he was an All-Star and he showed up in Philadelphia and he won the MVP, he was booed.
Yep.
And it hurt him. He was really, really hurt by that. I mean, you know, a guy like a Sonny Hill, you know, the Mr. Basketball aficionado himself, he can tell you that because I'm sure Kobe confessed that even to him. You know, he was like, you know, he was very, very hurt by it. But then as his career waned, particularly in his last game in Philadelphia, when the city came out at the Wells Fargo Center and showed him so much love, it meant the world to him. And it had come full circle because I think that if Philadelphia hadn't shown him the level of love that they showed to him when it was all about to be over, I think that there, that would have been a void in his career. He would have gotten over it because that's his way, but it still would have affected him. The fact that that was something he did not have to contemplate and that Philadelphia showed its appreciation for a great career and a great champion and a great competitor, it meant the world to him because in his eyes, he personified Philadelphia. Yeah, he might have had the smile and he might have been in Hollywood wearing the purple and gold. But to him, in terms of his roots, his armor, what he was made of, it was manufactured by Philadelphia and the outskirts of Philadelphia and what this blue-collar town is known to be. And he always felt like he was somebody who should have been appreciated by Philadelphia because, not just because he was from there, but because he personified the level of guts and toughness that the city prides itself in having. So when they showed him that in the end, I was with him that night in Philadelphia. I'd actually interviewed him post-game that night, and he was incredibly grateful and ecstatic over the fact that he felt like Philadelphia had finally embraced him, and he was really, really thankful for it, and it significantly contributed to the level of closure that he ultimately captured.
Steve, great to talk to you. Great insight, as usual. We'll catch up. Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot.
All right, there he is, Stephen A. Smith. Good stuff there. Yeah, you knew him very well.
That was amazing.
5 o'clock hour is ahead. Mike Misnelli Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.